Blog Talk Radio.
Voice of Destiny brings you your favorite Christian authors, speakers, and filmmakers each week. Listen in as our guests teach and encourage, listeners share their stories, and we go live to the front lines of what God is doing across the world. Now, get ready for the Voice of Destiny.
This is Larry Sparks for another exciting episode of Voice of Destiny. And, you know, there are some messages, there are some words, revelations from the Lord that are absolutely timeless. They're as timeless as the scripture that they come from. And I find today that there are aspects of prayer that the church is being summoned, is being called to recapture. And, you know, some of them back maybe 100 years ago, some of that language like interceding and tarrying in prayer, praying through, some of that language sadly has been lost today in our last 20 years. At the same time, though, there seems to be a resurgence in the Lord raising up voices to call the church back to these ancient arts, these ancient methods of prayer that are more than a formula, but it's about connecting heaven and earth. And today I have James Gall on the phone, on the line, and he's going to talk about a timeless subject, the lost art of intercession that I believe the Lord is awakening all believers across the earth to. So, James, thanks so much for being on the show.
Hey, it's great to be with you. You know, this was one of the very first books that I wrote. I'm not sure how many editions, you know, printings. We're now maybe in the third edition, but many printings. So there's been over 20-some printings, and this original book has gone into, I don't know, 10, 15, maybe even more different languages around the world.
Wow, wow. And it truly is a classic, and that's really the heart behind representing it to a new generation. So, and just for all of our listeners out there, typically I come to these Voice of Destiny radio podcasts with a list of interview questions and all that. But last time I tried to do that with James and the wonderful kids, we just started to have a good conversation. So
yeah.
I'm not about trying to manufacture something, but I really believe that that Holy Spirit has a purpose, has a strategic purpose in re-releasing this book, this message at this time. So let me ask you, James, what was the burden? Was there a burden? Was there a revelation? Was there something that motivated you originally to write this book? What was the catalyst for that?
Yes, I had already spent, to be blunt, honest with you, to be real transparent, I'd already had invested a major part of my life in my ministry of relationship before the throne of God, before I ever wrote any book.
Yeah.
And I always want to live my message. So this is a message that I have lived, and I continue to live. But with that background, I had spent, while I still live back in Kansas City, I now have lived in Nashville area for over 18 years with my family. And when I lived back in Kansas City, I spent 90 days in seclusion. And what I mean was, it was like the Holy Spirit in dreams told me I was in confinement. And I could not go travel. And I wasn't to do, like, any major public ministry. So I spent 90 days locked in my office.
Wow.
Praying, especially in the spirit, for anywhere from 6 to 14 hours a day for 90 days for 3 months.
Wow.
And then out of that, that became a womb of in the womb of intimacy came a conception of revelation. And one of the nights, I'll never forget it, though it's a long time ago, one of the nights while I was invested in those 90 days, thoughts, I call it divine thought. The thoughts of the Holy Spirit were rumbling through my mind, and there were phrases that I'd not thought of. There were blazing altars. The altar's on fire, the fire and the altar. And there were multiple phrases. There were eight different phrases. And the one phrase that stuck with me over and over and over this one night was fire on the altar. Mm-hmm. I wake up that next, you know, that morning. Now, I was already spending my 2 o'clock time slot, a.m., in the middle of the night, up every other night, sitting and waiting on the Lord. Also, I had 90 days of seclusion, and then I had already a 10-year history of being up at 2 a.m. every morning with God, not because I had an alarm, because he would wake me up, and I would go sit and watch with him for a while. Hmm. But that night, those phrases, eight phrases, and then one of them stuck with me, fire on the altar, fire on the altar, fire on the altar. And so I couldn't stand it any longer, and I started doing biblical search, and I started doing church history search on fire on the altar. And that's then when I discovered the Moravian prayer church history of Zinzendorf and the Moravian believers in with Zinzendorf in Herrnhut, Saxony in the 1700s, and the 110-year-long prayer meeting. And I ended up then going there, one of the first people, first believers, when communism lifted, I was one of the first believers to visit the geographical location where for 110 years the fire had been burning continually on the altar and it never went out. So that, honestly, that's the background of this first book.
Wow, wow. Well, and that's amazing, because just reading through the book, I'll never forget reading it from the second edition of the book. And the E.M. Bounds book with it.
Right,
and I remember reading it on the gym, on the treadmill, and you just can't read a book like that in the gym on the treadmill.
That's hilarious.
I will let our listeners know, don't try it, because it really invites you to consider. I mean, what it did, James, is, because I remember reading specifically about the Moravian prayer meeting, I have to wonder, and let me ask you this, do you there is a connection between that prayer, 110-year-long prayer, and then after that, we just see a wave of evangelism.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the connection is between intercession and then really the several hundred years after that when we saw awakening, evangelism, and revival?
Well, in that period, that was another one of the, I would call it, apostolic birthings in the church, that out of the womb of prayer was sent forth a missions movement.
Yeah.
So out of the prayer, then the Moravians were the first to send missionaries to Lapland, to Greenland. They at times sold themselves into slavery in closed nations, into Suriname, South America. They were into the islands of the Caribbean, and on and on and on. So prayer was a birthing canal, and it was actually hymns and prayer. So as our understanding today would be harp and bowl, worship and prayer. And that's what that was, because there was no one worked unless someone prayed, but their prayers were also laced with hymns.
Wow.
And so it was the joining of the, I'm going to now say, worship and prayer for missions. Well, now today, and another whole period of time later, we have this happening again. And we have now many different national, regional, local, and international prayer ministries and movements, plus all of the local churches and the houses of prayer that did not previously exist. And now we have, at the cusp of this, because it hasn't even begun to crescendo, we have a new thrust where now we have the canal of prophetic and prayer releasing a new generation of prophetic evangelists and mission.
Well,
it's happening all over again.
Well, then that begs the question, what do you perceive? What do you think? What do you believe is on the other side of what we're seeing now? Because you're right. I mean, you have everything from Pete Gregg with Red Moon Rising.
Exactly.
Pioneering voice in that.
Let me say something right there on that one. He read my book.
Wow.
Pete Gregg in England that started that, he read this book.
Wow.
And this book was a part of the catalyst that created some of the hunger for him in England to start that particular movement.
That's amazing.
That's the kind of impact, honestly, that this little book has had.
Wow. And where do you see, with all the prayer that's going on in the earth right now, what do you see on the other side of that? What do you think the crescendo will be as a result of this?
Well, I don't think we've begun to crescendo yet.
Yeah.
For one thing. And so now we have, let me just paint an immediate picture, something that's going on right before us. What are the gatherings that the Lord right now is anointing the most, or that they become the place where people gather and it's no problem filling auditoriums? They're worship gatherings, Bethel worship or Jesus culture or Winter Jam or whatever it is. I live in Nashville, okay?
Yeah.
Well, this is huge. It's huge. Think about how the climate, even in traditional denominational churches, the worship structure has changed, or they're in the middle of change. Or how about now in media, a Christian film that's had amazing impact called War Room. What was that about?
Yeah.
Prayer. It was rallying people, and it came from a background of a traditional Baptist church background. And War Room, why? God's got in getting our attention. Because it is imperative. Matthew Henry and many others all said the same thing. When God intends for there to be a revival, the first thing he does, he sets his people a praying. I believe that we are there. Now, I've gone around the world and visited the historic on-site locational places of prayer. The Lost Order of Intercession emphasizes the Herrnhut Watch of the Lord encounter experience, and it's the round the clock, and that the fire shall be kept burning continually, the altars never go out. And so now we have the worship component, the harp and bowl. Now we have this worship component and the major gatherings. There's no problem at all filling. Are these extravagant worship gatherings? So I think this is really fascinating. And now the worship songs are shifting from being entertainment oriented, that they are actually, many of them are intercessory prayers.
Yeah.
The songs are. So now we have some of the largest gatherings. Now we're going to have, Lou Engelwith, I don't know, it's the 25th call. It is. Anyway, my dear friend Lou, with the Azusa gathering at the Los Angeles Memorial, and that is a demarcation.
Yeah.
And it is bringing together power and prayer stream with, prophetic and prayer streams of the church together with power, supernatural culture, and evangelist.
Yeah.
And the wedding of those two things is going to be a booster to the rocket that's going to help propel forth, not just in the church, but outside the church, of authentic, amazing prophetic evangelism.
Wow.
And it's going to skyrocket. So where do I think it's crescendoing? Well, ultimately, it's going to crescendo to the book of Revelations, where the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate culmination. But I think we still got a lot of steam that we got to gain and get before we're reaching that one.
I would agree. And one of the things that I think sometimes believers, just Christians in their everyday life, struggle with is they hear this language of intercession and they think to themselves, how can I be an intercessor? Is an intercessor just a specific office, like the office of a prophet or an apostle, or all believers operate in intercession? I mean, what would you say to somebody who's struggling and wrestling through that?
Well, every street has two sides, okay? or there's two ditches, or there's two. So there is a realm of truth that we must acknowledge. That, if someone is called as a prophet, one of their distinctions, like, say, with me and Cindy Jacobs and, like, with Lou Engle and people like that, in our prophetic ministry, our prophetic ministries are strong, and Dutch Sheets, our prophetic ministries are the strongest in the place of prayer.
Mm.
You get us in prayer, and then, like, pop. I mean, it's just like revelation happens, and this flow, it occurs. And so the prayer, for many of us, is the catalyst for the revelatory dimensions.
Mm.
Now, so that's going to be true. Some are particularly gifted. But the other side of the street that I have emphasized for years and is in this book, The Lost Art of Intercession, is technically, I've studied this for years, in all of the scriptures, in all the places where spiritual gifts are technically listed, apostles, prophets, gifts of healings, gifts of administrations, gifts of helps, discernings of spirits, on and on. Prayer, worship, praise and intercession are never one time in any of Old or New Testament special gift list. Why? Is it because they're not? Or is there a reason they're left every list in both Old and New Testament? I believe they're left out on purpose because it is prayer, praise, worship and intercession is the birthright of every priest.
Mm.
Now, we got to have the reformational understandings of 500 years ago that the just shall live by faith and that every believer is a minister unto the Lord. So, folks, listen to me out there. You might not have an ordination certificate or whatever, or you might not have a microphone and be at a platform. But I want to tell you something. My highest ministry is not before men.
Mm.
My highest ministry is before God. And I believe if you can say, help, I believe you are a prayer warrior.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. That's so good, James, because I think sometimes we wrestle. I think sometimes people struggle with that.
Yeah.
They see those who are unusually gifted in a certain office. And they think, well, that may not be for me, but I want to let our listeners know the wonderful thing about Lost Art of Intercession, it's an invitation to you.
Uh-huh.
That book is an invitation. What I love about it is it gives you a glimpse of what could be, of what God does desire. I mean, that's really the great illustration of the Moravian movement. And
it
gets you hungry, just like it did for Pete Gregg. I believe this book will get you hungry to pray and intercede because you'll have a clear vision of what it accomplishes in the spirit realm. So let me ask you this ready to wind up. What does intercession accomplish in that spirit realm?
Well, intercession, just the word, in one, there's two different ways of looking at it. One from languages, and from the Latin, the word intercedo is, again, to stand in between, or as we get the phrase, to stand in the gap. In the Hebrew language, the word intercede or intercession comes from the Hebrew word pagah, and it is transliterated into about eight different phrases, to fall upon, to light upon, and things of this nature. And one of them is to for the lightnings of God to strike the mark.
Mm.
And so it's in this book, and I don't have the time to unpack the teaching, I wish I did, that the Holy Spirit showed me through dreams and through the Word and through experience that our prayers give God, we paint marks, we paint targets, where the lightning, Job 36, whatever, I can't remember what it is right now, but it's in the book, where it says, the glory and the light of God covers his hand, and he sends it forth to strike the mark. The word strike the mark is intercession. We in the earth realm paint the targets for Nashville. You paint them, you live in Florida.
Yeah.
And we paint them for our families. We paint them on the back of people's heads. We paint them on for those in authority. We paint them on for Russia. We paint them on that the communism would come down. We paint targets for China, for the underground church to not be just underground, to become above ground. We pray for the transformation of society. We pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers to the field, and we paint targets through our prayers that then God is waiting on the invitation from earth to send forth the glory and the light that is on his hands to send it forth to strike the mark toward intercession.
Wow.
So intercession is the invitation from man to partner with God for the release of his glorious realm in earth as it is in heaven.
And you know, that's so interesting, James, because again, we, in the day in which we live, I mean, there's so much, you'd say, activity in the spirit realm. There's a lot of people who are saying, well, I got this word, or this negative, this disaster is coming our way. And we obviously, it doesn't take much prophetic sight to see there's a lot of negativity going on in the world.
Yes.
There's an election going up. There's so many
things
that we are consumed with that strike fear into people. But what would you say? I see intercession as really our appropriate response to what we see going on in the world. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to somebody who is either prophetically inclined and they sense kind of looming disaster, those types of things about a certain thing, or just for the everyday believer who's being bombarded with the news and CNN and all the negativity?
Sure.
How does intercession actually become a safeguard, even in the midst of all the darkness that we deal with?
Well, I would say, first of all, don't intercede first. Worship first.
That's good.
Because we ascend in worship. We descend through prayer. This is going to play with you a little bit. Okay, work with you a little bit. Our best position of intercession is not praying up through something. It's being seated with Christ in the heavenly places, sitting with Jesus, ruling and reigning, having another eternal heavenly perspective, and then praying down through. But at the same time, we pray, and what goes up must come down. And so I want to say, folks, first, enter into worship.
Yeah.
Because worship will break off the gloom. Worship will break off the fear. And today, some people aren't praying out of the right perspective. They're praying out of worry. But if you'll ascend in worship, worry washes off. And you enjoy God, and you know Papa's good, and he doesn't have a plan for calamity, but he has a plan for a hope, a remedy, and a solution. And then as we worship and we get in sync and agreement with God, because it isn't that we need three intercessors to be in agreement first. The first person we need to come into agreement with is God.
Yeah.
And as we ascend, we get the crud, or whatever you want to call it, the darkness washed off. We ascend, and this can happen for any individual, a mom out there, a dad, a teenager, whoever it is. And we worship and we praise the Lord. We get a heavenly perspective. We lean in upon the chest of Jesus, sitting with the Father's right hand, and then we get his perspective, and then we pray honestly with Jesus. And now we're not just praying to Jesus, we're praying with Jesus. So anyway, folks, some of this is in this first book, The Lost Art of Intercession, Restoring the Power and Passion of the Watch of the Lord. Destiny Image helped give me my launch. I want to thank you, Larry, and all the people of the past. I also want to say that I just looked. This book was originated in 1997. So that means this is 2016 and a new version with a great cover on it. That means 2017, this book will be celebrating its 20th anniversary of helping people to cry, help!
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And that is so true, James. And again, just letting our listeners know, what you said there was just wonderful about before we even pray, before we begin going into intercession, worship first. because that really sets perspective. And what I think it does, as you were explaining that, I thought to myself, when we worship and when we get our perspective into that seated with Christ in heavenly places, we start to see everything measured next to God. And when everything is measured next to Him, we see things in proper perspective.
So guess what? There's no fear in heaven.
Correct. That's right.
So our fears are now worry based.
Yes.
They're not. They're redemptive based.
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage everybody. That's why there's the emphasis that the Holy Spirit's brought over the last 15 years on the harp and the bowl. And so let's mix our petitions and our prayers and many forms of prayer and intercession, worship and praise. And as we do that, we will be more edified. And instead of praying under the cloud or through the cloud, we will be above it. And then our prayers will help break up the darkness.
That's absolutely true. Again, the book, The Lost Art of Intercession, we've got a brand new version that just came out.
Yeah.
I encourage you to check it out. I also want to encourage you to go to James's website. It's encountersnetwork.com, encountersnetwork.com. And there, not only will you see his full range of books and such, but he has a lot of great teaching curriculum, DVD, audio, all that type of material that I believe will help take you to the next level in your walk with the Lord. This is true discipleship training material, and I believe you'll be blessed. You can also see where James will be speaking. I believe his speaking engagements are limited, but you will be at Voice of the Prophets, I think.
Yes, right. That's my first time back out. In April at the Voice of the Prophets. I feel like I've been in a cave waiting to be a statesman again and to release a word for the nation.
Wow.
And be there. And then at the Global Women on the Front Lines in Phoenix at the end of May and many other, not as much as I was. I'm doing a lot of online media now. Anyway, I want to thank Destiny Image. I want to thank you listeners. And I bless you, and may the Holy Spirit equip you so that you can make history with me before the throne of God. Yeah. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks, James. Thanks for joining us today on Voice of Destiny.
This has been the Voice of Destiny, your trusted source for the latest Spirit-filled resources for your everyday life. Thanks again for listening.